Good day, and welcome to this week's edition of Not Necessarily Automobile on 101.5 UMFM. I'm your host, Adam Johnston, for Thursday, February 22nd, 2024. In this week's episode, The Wheels on the Bus, we talk about, with my guest, how we can get more youth involved in taking public transportation. What ideas can we look at? What works? And perhaps how Winnipeg one day can look towards youth taking public transportation more to get to school, social activities, and many more. That's this week's edition of Not Necessarily the Automobile on 101.5 UMFM. They say that youth are our future. After all, they will likely inherit our economy, our healthcare system, and the current state of our environment. They perhaps, more than anyone, have a bigger stake on the future of our planet. Yet it seems each generation that passes, the same thing occurs. That our youth capture very bad habits from their parents. One of them includes the current private automobile dependency that we are seeing here on our planet. But what if we were to teach our youth how to use public transportation from top to bottom, from getting on the bus to protecting yourself on the bus, education about the fare system, to bus etiquette, in order to encourage young people to take public transit more and break the stigma of taking the bus here in North America? What if educating our youth on the importance of public transit can encourage them to take it more, build self-confidence, self-reliance, not needing their parents to drive them everywhere, as well as a sense of civic responsibility? Well, today my guest may provide some hints on this. Today I am very pleased to have as a guest on Not Necessarily Automobile, Dan Henry. He has been very active in supporting youth transit advocacy in Kingston, Ontario. He is the founder of Get on the Bus and has also spoken about the subject at a TED Talk. Dan, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Looking back at this, what, first off, got you interested in public transportation and what was behind the idea of Get on the Bus?
For sure. So there's a couple big questions there, but I'll kind of dissect them if that's okay. I think so I have a personal passion in around sustainability and climate action. That I went to Sweden school in Sweden around this in 2007. And so just the idea of sustainability, living well in the biosphere, listening to physics, it was always something that that I was close to. And so when I moved back to Kingston, I always had that lens, right? And it was an opportunity in 2012 when the City of Kingston Council at the time, and I worked for the local school board, they were working together to allow just grade nines to ride for free. And so it was kind of that moment that I saw, you know, with that environmental background, but also have a business degree and just kind of seeing how things work. I'm like, you know, if there's more kids on the bus and learning how, it can do a lot of different things for many different people and different institutions, schools, parents, work, volunteering. And so in Kingston in 2012, I kind of asked the director of education, you know, can I try to teach them how to use it? Because I thought that could be a barrier, you know? And so over the course of several years, us figuring it out here locally in Kingston and myself working part-time for the school board, we built a system and a project between the school boards, between the city and the transit authority, in which kids in grade 9, 10, 11, and 12 in the city of Kingston are allowed to ride for free. And every September, I take a city bus with a driver out and we do training. And when I say training, I like to talk about not just about how to get it on and off and if you can eat and how to put your bike on, but also like the value, right? And some of the barriers, that they might have right in their heads, like just being uncomfortable. So learning about safety and the societal benefits and the economic benefits and the environmental benefits. And so I've been doing that and advocating for that in Kingston, watching firsthand how well it and how much it affected just so many parts of our community. And so, you know, I took every phone call over the past decade, you know, every interested party or group or grassroots organization or municipality asking, well, what, you know, could we talk to you about how it works? And it was in 2021, actually, that I just realized that, you know, it's got to be bigger and it can't just be, you know, me trying to do it on evenings and weekends. And I reached out to the Small Change Fund, which is a charity in Toronto that does grassroots movements and supports different initiatives across Canada. And it was Burkhard Mosberg that said, yeah, let's see how we could work together. And through that, we created Get on the Bus, which is a national movement aimed to inspire communities to look at what we've done in Kingston and other communities across Canada. Now, it's not just Kingston. That's the cool thing about investing in youth and watching what it can do for just so many groups of people in the community.
From what I've read about your, you know, the initial work that you've done in Kingston is quite impressive. So can you tell me a little bit about some of the results that have happened in Kingston since you began doing this project?
Yeah, for sure. So like that's in, and that's again, these are the things that, you know, from so many lenses, this is why I'm so passionate about this, right? Like I would talk to anybody. You wouldn't want to be stuck in the elevator with me because I'd be talking about this, I'm sure, you know, but just from a firsthand point of view, I've just seen it, you know, and I think there's so much importance to that about what we can see and touch and feel and just watching the impact. For example, things like in that first year, there were 28,000 grade 9 rides in 2012. Again, we didn't know what we were doing in Kingston, right? We were working through it and collaborating. And then every year it kind of went, the next grade went on. So it went grade 9, grade 9, 10, grade 9 to 11, grade 9 to 11, 12, right? And in that moment, like what we started to see is with training and exposure to the transit system, you know, you're looking from 28,000 rides to almost every year between 500,000 to 600,000 rides by high school kids. And to me, this just changed my perspective of it, because it's not about the ride. It's about what they're doing, right? It's about where they're going. It's about how they're getting involved. It's about the parent not shuttling them around necessarily. It's about the confidence they're gaining, the independence they're gaining, you know, the skill sets they're gaining, volunteer opportunities or sports events or clubs, or, you know, we built around the automobile and it's hard to get around, right? And so this is a freedom that they have to both interact with their community and invest in their community by participating, right? And so what I've seen firsthand are things like not to pay for the project and the program for youth instead of just having to pay them to get here, right? We've seen field trips taking advantage of this opportunity, classes and teachers getting out into the community to get to the local theater, to the farmer's market, right? We've seen kids getting to work. So what I can say too, what I love about this, it's not just for me. Don't get me wrong, I love climate action. I'm passionate about that. But for me, just the win-win-win-win-win about accessibility and equity and the environment, but also the economy. Like we always look at transit, like, you know, we can subsidize or we can put money into roads. Of course we need roads, right, to get around. But these buses on the road can get people around too. And what we've seen, which is, I think, pretty cool, is after a decade here in Kingston, I can tell you in 2017, there is a youth pass paid. So that's after high school, right? Like that's up to age 24. So just a slight monthly discount rather than the adult pass, right? Which they would move into. But what we've seen is 2017, there were a total of 255 paid monthly passes sold to youth that after high school. And as of 2023, there's 608. So that means it's up 140% paid ridership, right? And that's only the monthly passes, right? And for me, this is also something about investing in our commons, investing in good transit. Because the thing about transit that gets you is you need a good system to get people, but you need people to get a good system, right? And so this is like, I think, a bit of a silver bullet. We're all spending money on youth. We're spending money on the environment, the programs, the economy, jobs, volunteering. But we're spending all this money. And if people can't get to interact with this, it's not an efficient way of some of those resources as well, right? And so these are just some of the things why I get so excited about this program and watching other communities through the Small Changes Funds Get on the Bus movement that I'm working with. You know, what I'm seeing happening, and I'm just so ecstatic to help other communities see it and then figure out how to collaborate, because it might have to be a bit different in different communities, because different communities have different, you know, different flavors. But at the same time, we're Canadian and we have a lot of similarities, right? And so it's about building it uniquely for the community, which we've seen. But at the end of the day, it's about youth-friendly transit policy and giving them the know-how and then supporting it as they go.
One of the things that I've been interested in, actually, and you've, you know, what I like about your program is like not only just the idea of giving youth free bus passes or low cost bus passes, but educating them about how to use the public transit system, the civic engagement and the civic duty within it. And that's one thing I really appreciate that your program has done.
So I would I really appreciate that, and I mean that's why I think, you know, when I was a kid, I thought I wanted to be an archaeologist, right? I thought Indiana Jones was cool. I just love history and I love seeing different, and you know, and now I'm the bus guy in Kingston, and I love it because for me it's pretty cool that you can help with, you know, impacting and helping other people's lives just by, you know, this intervention, right? We're not talking about the parents that, you know, maybe can't get their kid to something, or, you know, I have a student working with me from St. Lawrence College. He's an intern doing a placement. And he said, Dan, the reason why I chose helping you build the marketing for the Get on the Bus movement is because I grew up in Kingston and my one parent lived on one side of town. My other parent lived on the other side of town. This helped me get around. This helped me get friends. So, and to learn that it's not common across Canada just blew him away. And so, you know, I appreciate, because I think now more than ever, we have to lean into community. We have to build trust with each other. Like if you see social media, I mean, it's a pretty scary world out there. But I fully believe that, you know, there's more good people than bad. And we're just busy. We're working hard and we're tired. Right. And I believe leaning into community and getting support and building relationships and friendships, I think truthfully, you know, this movement, the Get on the Bus movement, helps with that, you know, or at least giving access and training and showing how. You wouldn't believe how many folks, like adults, have told me, they're like, Dan, could you jump on the bus and show me how to do it, like in Kingston, you know? Because, and if we think adults are not totally sure how, well, what about the 14-year-old or the 15-year-old or the 16-year-old, right? And so that's why I think this intervention of both, you know, free policy for youth and training is just so important, because it kind of hits both. And then the beautiful thing, Adam, is they train each other. Kids help each other. You get the early adopters that are more confident, or maybe their older brother or sister help them. But what you see is with that intervention of 15, 20 minutes, getting them understanding it, I really fundamentally think that's a catalyst to then really them supporting and helping each other, right? Knowing the rules and the kind of the lay of the land, let's say, you know?
Yeah, no, and I know going back from being a kid, living in a house when I was very, very young for quite a long period of time, I had a single mom taking care of me and like two other brothers. And a lot of times I would have to take the bus to places like downtown Winnipeg, go to the old Eden store, the Bay. And I know that feeling, you know, of the importance of public transit and just it playing a key public service to get people around, especially those who don't have a lot of income. And now that I'm older and, you know, live in, you know, a smaller house and have a bike and modest income, it's like it's come full circle for me in a lot of ways, you know, being by myself and riding my bicycle when I have to or taking a bus. And I fully understand about alternatives to automobiles. So again, that's something we don't do a lot of specifically.
Well, I think you're right. And the other thing that I get excited about, even training youth young, like, so I'm not, they're not, not all of them won't have an automobile, right? I have one with my wife, but we don't have two, right? There's a lot of families that need two to get around and stuff. We use the bus ourselves, right? But my point, I think what you're saying too, what I like and what I'm seeing is it makes us more multimodal, right? Like we have more choices and confidence, right? Like instead of just how many people walk out and just get in the car, right? That's it. Right. Instead of, for me, it could be like, I'm going to carpool this day. Right. I'm going to bus this day. I'm going to bike this day. I'm going to walk this day. I'm going to drive this way. I have to today. Right. You know? And so my point, I think, is there's some other really big factors here. Like what I've read multiple times is the average ownership cost of an automobile in Canada is like to operate is like 13, you know, like $10,000 to $13,000 a year. That's gas, oil, insurance, you know, parking, speeding tickets, you know, maintenance, all that stuff. That's a lot of money, you know? And I've also read stats saying like 60% of Canadians are living paycheck to paycheck, you know? Those stats to me, you know, that could be anybody, the person next door, right? That's six out of 10 people are looking at life and trying their best, right? With what they got. And imagine just by normalizing and understanding transit, right? If maybe one family could say, well, we don't need two cars, we can have one, but we've never known that. We've never used that. We've never thought of it, right? And to me, it's also about a disposable income, you know, like those families that might, like you said, needed a bit more. Like think about if they're using the bus right now, that money would be back in their pocket for them to spend that money on other things that help their family, right? through a program, especially like this, by giving youth free. And the word free is true. It's free to youth, but I don't think it goes right on the municipality. I don't think it just goes on the school board or the province or the feds or the public health authorities or the not-for-profits. But to me, truthfully, it could be looking at it from a community lens, saying, you know what? There is so much value in getting kids moving around, connected. We're spending money on, you know, education programs. We're spending money on employment programs and training and mental health support. We got to get them around to make those resources and those investments even more efficient, you know? And I look at this as something that I really think it's about kind of connecting, reconnecting communities in a lot of ways as well.
Yeah, certainly, Dan. And I want to go back to your TED Talk. I actually watched that last night. And one of the words that really stuck to me was the word stigma. And I'm going to give you two definitions that I researched just before this recording here today. Now, one definition comes from Merriam-Webster's dictionary and says, stigma means, quote, a set of negative and unfair beliefs that a society or group of people have about something, B, a mark of shame or discredit. Meanwhile, Oxford English Dictionary says stigma is, quote, a mark of disgrace or a sign of censor or condemnation, regarded as impressed on a person or a thing, unquote. That word really stuck to me in that TED Talk, especially in North America, in terms of how it views publication and to an extent active transportation. Just wondering what your views on that.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I guess we don't know what we don't know, or we normalize what we think is normal, right? Like, what I find fascinating with humans, myself included, is what you just do daily because that's how you do it, right? And sometimes we're not always comfortable with things that we don't know as well, right? I think that would be fair to say. But not just that, but think about the amount of lobbying that has gone to, you know, pushing the infrastructure needed for single occupancy vehicles, right? Or for cars, right? In fact, in that TED Talk, you'll see that, like, the visual there, it has a real ad that says, you know, on the front of the bus ticker, creeps and weirdos, right? And it says, now you can afford, it was for a car. And it says, now you can afford this. It was basically saying, this is a cheap car. Now you can afford it, right? You don't need to take the bus. And so, in fact, I spoke at one point and a lady said, I don't think it's fair for you to say that public transit stigmatized. And one thing I've said, even in Kingston, it was one of the counselors that is so supportive of this program now. He said, you know, and he'd been there for quite a while. He said, we used to call this the loser cruiser, right? But now we're using it, right? And I think we have to flip it around and say, you know, this system is about, you know, I read a quote actually the other day that said that, you know, to look at, it's like the advancement of a society is not if poor can afford cars, but if the rich use transit. And, you know, I think this is about us living together as humans in urban settings and making sure that people have a fair ability to get around, you know, to more opportunity, right? And so, yeah, I think the word itself, I mean, for me, you know, I like to see, especially mid-sized Canadian communities, right? Like, because it's also about the investment dollar, right? Like, what gets cut, right? Like, fare boxes, like a huge amount of Canadian infrastructure around transit, it's still fare box, you know, it's about the fare box, people putting money in, right? But there's no problem about other public investment into large scale roads or other things that, you know, maybe affect other people, or not other people, but other technology a certain way, right? Or not maybe investing in smart transit cycling infrastructure, you know? And so I think that there's been a lot of money spent in building our communities the way it is. And quite frankly, they're stretched out. We, as you know, they're over land, their things are far apart, right? And so, yeah, I think it has been stigmatized, quite frankly. And I think that not maybe every community, right? But I think by getting a lot of different people on the bus, right? I think that's one way of breaking that, right? Because I think we have invested in things that maybe aren't focused on that common everybody good, right? Which transit is a public asset, right? It's for the commons, for everybody to get around.
In terms of, I guess, other Canadian cities, like, let's say, Winnipeg, what would be some of the benefits of trying something like this in, like, the city of Winnipeg, if possible?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's about an investment in our youth. I think it's an investment in our public transit systems to grow new ridership for more people to get normalized, understand how to use it and have it as a tool that they can. Oh, I say that to our youth, like in Kingston, when I said, listen, when I went to, like I've traveled, right? Like when I lived in Korea, I used the bus, right? When I go to Ottawa, I use the bus, right? And so it's a transferable skill set, right? A city like Winnipeg's bigger than Kingston. I still think it's very doable. I don't think it has to fall right on the municipality. It's not their just that job, right? Running the transit system, right? It's a community effort, right? But what I've been saying to other cities too is just, what about trying one grade, one school, just having a pilot, trying to figure it out, starting the conversation, right? Even key stakeholders around that are advocating for the environment or youth or equity or diversity, you know, so many different groups that kind of tie together, you know, transportation links things. We all use it, right? And so any city that I've been chatting to, whether, you know, Halifax is working on a pilot, Burlington, Ontario, I was talking to Whistler, British Columbia, they're working on something, the Sunshine Coast, BC, that community is just looking at investing in that youth side of the policy change. And I would say just try to start somewhere, right? Start the conversation of not just what I've seen when it's brought up, oh, well, we can't afford it if all of our youth use it right now because that's the dollar value. Well, I don't know if that's the best way to look at it, because first thing, why are the assumptions going to be that good that quick? There was a lot of effort that went into figuring this out, right? And so my point is to start somewhere and start the conversation, but learn from it. That's what we did in Kingston. It actually took 4 or 5 years for us to make the relationships. We started doing the transit passes on site, right? Different communities have different technology with transit pass distribution. Some people some communities are looking at apps now, digitizing it, you know, so we do have to look at these realities, right? So, but I think to start is just to not say no right away, right? Not say, well, we can't, right? Because at the end of the day, I don't know. I don't think there could be a better investment in a community as a whole, right? Because you're saving parents time. You're getting kids to school, right? You're getting kids to jobs. You're giving them autonomy to make more decisions. I just read, there was an article the other day that I saw. And again, I wouldn't say this is a stretch. I think it's very much connected to the value of what this is. But what I'm just seeing it here. It was called The Decline in Independent Activity as a Cause of Decline in Children's Mental Well-Being. Think about that. Our environment has a huge factor over our mental health, right? And so if they can't make decisions, if they can't experiment and be independent and they're thinking and depressed, this is leading to a decline in mental well-being. And it looks different. When I was a kid, I grew up in a smaller town, right? And I remember biking into the bush and going crayfish, within the streams and the rivers. And that's what I got to do as a kid. Right. But there was a lot of learning in that. When I fell from a tree, I had to deal with it. Right. You know, what it was like to go tobogganing like so far away and you're walking home and you're parched and you're tired and you're just trudging home, but you still had to do that. Right. And though I don't think it's the same thing, I think that there is the ability of giving the kids the autonomy to have confidence and understanding to move around their communities, right? And to know that they can have the confidence to go get jobs or meet friends, right? I think it's about social cohesion and connection. And so this is the type of thing when I think when a community like Winnipeg, where could you start? What class could you start with? What group of students could you start with? What grade could you start with? What school could you start with? Just start somewhere. How are we going to pay for it? Well, there's a lot of money being spent right now for a lot of things, right? Like a lot of different, you know, everything, which budget we were talking about. To me, this is about looking at the things that would have value from this. Like, is it part of the employment strategy? Is it part of youth mental health? Is it part of GHG reductions, right? Like, is it part of growing transit ridership and marketing, right? All these things, this can help with, you know? And so I think it's more from a policy standpoint, starting somewhere and keeping an eye on it and asking youth and watching them, seeing what they're doing with it and getting their opinion. And just for your community, for Winnipeg or for other communities, seeing how you can work with it to make it make sense for your community. But at the end of the day, and the word free, sometimes I don't love that word because they're like, oh, well, you know, those kids, what are they? It's about like, I'm going to need somebody to, you know, be my doctor when I'm 70. right? Somebody invested in me, right? You know what I mean? And so this is very much something I believe is about just helping our communities in so many ways. And I think it's the best investment any community could have in itself by investing in your youth, building transit systems and more transit, youth, more usage, more paying ridership, better transit service, right? More people cycling, more people are walking. I've heard stats, including things like if you're taking public transit, you're 60, this is just a quote I had years ago from a press release from our local public health authority, but the chief medical officer at this time, he used, I remember it was you're 64% more likely to get your daily physical activity if you use transit because you got to walk and connect and stuff like that. And this ties back to our public tax dollars for health, right? Yeah. You know, so this is why I would say start somewhere and get the right type of people together that are see the value and just try, you know.
I think what your program is a great example of what other cities can do in Canada. And Dan Estrela, I thank you very much for your time today. I'm Not Necessarily Automobile on 101.5 UMFM.
Thanks again. And check out getonthebus.ca, and it's driven by the Small Change Fund.
And that's this week's episode of Not Necessarily Automobile on 101.5 UMFM. I'm your host, Adam Johnston. Special thanks to our guest, Dan Hendry, for coming on the show this week. You can always check out our episodes online on our archives at www.umfm.com. You can also go to our website at www.notnecessarilyautomobile.wordpress.com. You can also check us out on our social media feed with Twitter, also known as X. And the tagline there is at NNTAONUMFM. As well, you can also send us your feedback about the show, other episodes, as well as suggestions and comments. And that email address is notnecessarilyautomobile@gmail.com. Again, I'm your host, Adam Johnston. Thank you very much for listening today. Up next on 101.5 UMFM is Democracy Now! Featuring Amy Goodman. Thanks very much for listening. Have a great rest of your day and a wonderful remainder of your week.